I wanted to talk a little bit about what our video was about. So as I don't think if you've been here for a little bit that you could have missed, our teens went to Nazarene Youth Conference, and that was from June 30th to July 8th. We were traveling and going out to Utah. And so we joined roughly 10,000 teenagers and from all of like Nazarene churches from USA and Canada. And we joined together to lift God's name on high. And I just wanted to tell you guys a little bit about our trip. So to begin with, our trip started with a day of travel. And that was, you know, travel. So for some of our students, it was their first time on an airplane, and that was cool to get to witness them, just be able to experience something like that for the first time. But then we got to Utah, and we got hit with the dry heat, which I'm not going to lie, I am very used to Indiana humidity, so I did not know what was coming for me, and we used a lot of chapstick and a lot of lotion, but it was beautiful there. So we started out, we had our first day that was kind of between the conference really starting and when we needed to get checked in and all of that. So we had some free time, so we were able to go to Antelope Island State Park, which is where we got to see a bison like cross the road in front of our car, and we didn't get to go up to it because there's a drought right now and the water was just very gross. But we got to see the Great Salt Lake, which was cool. And we then that evening we got to go check in, go to our field event, where we got to see other students that we will see typically when we go to events like Celebrate Life at Olivet, because that's our field region. And so students from Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin. So then the next day, the conference started in earnest. And we began by worshiping and hearing a speaker. And then we went to an event called The Experience. And it was essentially like these stations that the students worked through, and it gave them prompts and these quiet time to just connect with the Lord. And then after that, we had another session, and then at night, we were able to have a concert. And so the next day, we did it all again, but instead of The Experience, we went to the rec hall during our like middle portion of the day. So they just have fun experiences. Students are able to do these different activities in the rec hall, but they're also able to connect with like missions organizations and Nazarene colleges and things like that. And then the last day, we again did our sessions, but in between we did missions work. And so for that, we were able to partner with an organization called Convoy of Hope. And Convoy of Hope is a disaster relief organization. And so really, like, students had brought a lot of supplies, and we were able to put together, like, emergency kits for when people experience natural disasters. And so then our final day, we were able to travel a couple hours south to Moab, Utah, and really experience the natural wonder of that state. And so just to tell you a little bit about like what the speakers were like and all of that, they were very dynamic, and I think it was just really cool because they had so many different people that spoke. We had one person who you might have seen on the sort of highlight video, who he was not born deaf or blind, but because of a condition he has, he slowly lost his vision and hearing. He still has a little bit of hearing, so we were able to cheer really loud and he was able to hear us, but he has dedicated his life to doing pottery and teaching about the good potter through that. And so we were able to hear his sermon, which I thought was just so cool because, like, I know he's not able to, like, check his notes or do anything like that. So his message was incredibly powerful. All of the students, like in the whole arena, stood up and gave him a standing ovation at the end because it was just incredible to see God working through him. So he really talked about how God is the good potter and how a good potter knows that in order to mold the clay, you must apply pressure. And so he kind of talked about how the Lord is using these things in our lives to shape us and to mold us and to grow us. And he made the pottery while he was preaching. So that was a really amazing thing to witness. And then I think a lot of our just favorite speaker was this woman. She had a Hispanic or Spanish accent in the video, if you heard that. But she was a pastor from Oklahoma, and she preached about the transformative Word of God. So after the conference was over, like I said, we were able to go down south and visit Arches National Park for a day. And it was something where the students were very much just like, none of them had been there before and were able to see that before. And so it was just a powerful experience to get to see the natural beauty of God's earth. I think most of us, when we landed, just seeing the mountains, everybody was blown away. So then to actually go into them was breathtaking. We debated on whether or not to have the students come up or not, but I knew that there was at least going to be two that weren't able to make it. And so we decided to record a video and to have them be able to tell you themselves about their experience a little bit. So if you want to go ahead and hit play on that video, that would be, or well, I guess maybe. Here we go. I think I can do it.
My name is Kaylee. I've grown up in the church, and on Sundays I help with the little kids.
My name's Alexa. I came to Middletown for the first time when I was in sixth grade. My best friend Kaylee invited me, and I serve in the church. I work with all of your little kids. I help teach them. I help them grow, and I really love doing it.
All right. My name is Colin Ward, and I've gone to youth group for a couple years now. I forgot all of the questions.
My name is David Teeter. I came to Middletown Church a little over a year ago, and I like to help the kids sometimes.
Hi, I'm Lily Mahan. I've been going to church since I was about six, and I go every Sunday, and I also go to youth group every Wednesday.
Hi, my name is Evan Fuller. I attend Middletown Church in Nazarene, and I sometimes help with our church's live stream.
My name's Ray. I've been going to Middletown for a few years now after one of my friends invited me, and sometimes I serve on the worship team.
Hi, my name's Layla. I've grown up in Middletown Church, and I help with Kids Church.
On this trip, I've learned that it's okay to take life slow and just slow things down in general.
I grew on this trip through worship. It was a really powerful moment. Like, whenever they started worship, I just felt like God calling me, and it honestly was just like the best day ever. I think worship like really helped me realize where I belong.
During this week, God helped me break chains of my past. I'm no longer tied to a broken and a hurting past.
During this trip, I've grown closer to God and heard how He wants to change my life and serve Him better.
With gaining new friends, gaining a deeper understanding of faith, and just growing as a kinder human being.
I feel like I've really just grown closer to God on this trip. I learned how to be just more forgiving and give more grace.
On this trip, the moment where I saw God was during worship. where, like, I was sitting, like, higher up, and I could just, like, see everyone worshiping, and, like, you know, the music was loud and everything, and it was just, like, nice to, like, see and hear it all.
There was a moment in the Little American Hotel, it's the hotel we stayed at in Salt Lake, where me and my friend were talking. We had a really in-depth, deep conversation about stuff going on in our life, and I felt like God was really speaking to him through me, and I was really saying things that he needed to hear from God, and it was, I guess that's how I experienced God.
I felt really connected to God through worship again. It was just such, like, I felt so close to him with all of the people around me. All 10,000 kids were all worshiping the same God. And it was like, it was just so powerful. I felt really connected, and I felt like everyone around me was so connected. It was the most powerful moment.
I really felt connected to God during worship when I stand up and see 10,000 kids all worshiping together. And it makes me feel not alone in this world.
I don't remember the song. It was during one of our sessions, which just the song called What a God by SEU Worship. It's just the lyric, at the highest places at your feet, and I've done it all. Just like that part of the chorus really just stuck out to me over everything.
I really felt connected to God during worship.
And whenever you're ready.
One time that I definitely felt connected to God was when the worship team played How Great Thou Art. Because when I was younger, I went to church, but then I stopped going to church. I wasn't Christian. And then a few years ago, I came back to church, and I haven't heard it, like, since I was a little kid. And it was just very nostalgic, and I just, like, felt, I was, like, very connected, because, like, I could sing it and actually mean it.
My favorite part of the trip was going to Moab and just, like, walking around and seeing all the arches and all the mountains, because it was really beautiful.
My favorite part of the trip was definitely the Hummer tours. I loved doing it, and it was, like, it was so much fun. I loved watching it, and I loved talking to the tour guide. It was the best experience.
My favorite part, honestly, is probably the day where we did the Hummer tours and then went to the, and, like, did the state park in Moab, which was like just yesterday, because I got so many cool pictures.
My favorite part of the trip was being able to hear the speakers and how relatable they were to my life, and how their solutions to problems weren't just by trying to handle it themselves, but hearing how they had God help them now every single time you came through.
Okay, my most favorite part of the trip was the concerts, like Elevation Worship and Desire Queen and Halvey, and also the messages. They were on point this year. They were very good. Not one, like, you know, just single bad. They were all great.
Our time in Moab, just on the Hummer tour, and just looking at the Arches National Park, because that's always been a place I've wanted to go.
The park was definitely like the services and like the concerts, just because the speakers were really, really good. And Josiah Queen is like one of my favorite artists.
The most fun part of this trip was going to a bison farm and seeing all the bison. And then on our way back, we got to see a bison cross the road right in front of us, and it was so big.
The most fun part of the trip was the hiking. I really enjoy hiking, and, like, recently I've enjoyed it a lot more. And I feel like I could really just, like, go around. It was so much fun. And I saw God through everything. Like, we were hiking, and I was like, oh, my gosh, like, God did this. Like, it's incredible. And, like, it was just a gorgeous time for us to all be out there together and hiking and walking on God's creation.
So at the Little American Hotel, which is, again, where we stayed most of the time in Salt Lake, there were two pools. There was one outdoor pool, which went to 9 feet, and one indoor pool that had a connection to an outdoor pool. But it was kind of leveled off at, like, 3 or 4 feet. And I just really like swimming, so that was really fun, hanging out with my friends and swimming.
The most fun part about this trip was probably getting to go on the Hummer's tour and seeing the beauty of Utah.
Fun part of the trip was the Hummer's tour. because it was really fun. And I met Shaggy, so.
Playing 3-on-3 football in the pool.
That was your favorite part?
That was the most fun.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, most fun.
Probably the arches. The most fun part was just, like, getting to, like, worship with, like, my friends and stuff. And also getting to go to arches and trading with people.
This morning I wanted to sort of bring a little bit of something back from this experience, and not just because I'm the youth pastor and this is a youth event, but because God is working in the lives of young people, and I believe that that matters for the whole church. So these verses I felt like the Lord brought to me this week. This is from Psalm 145, verses 1 through 7. It says this: I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your acts to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. I read these verses because they're a part of a psalm of praise of David. And in this psalm, David explains how faith is passed from one generation to the next. At NYC, our students were not just 8 kids from our church. They got to see a glimpse of a greater body of believers, and they were reminded that they have a place in God's greater story. But before we left, I was incredibly blessed by our church. We had a couple students who needed to fully fundraise in order to go, and we were getting close, and we had some who said, you know, is there anything else we can do to help, that sort of thing. And so we were able to get fully funded and everything before the end. And I was just so blessed by this, blown away by this, that our church was able to love on our students so well, allow them to get to experience this event and all of that. By attending the fundraisers, donating, and praying. And it made me think of a passage of Scripture. Specifically, it made me think of the book of Nehemiah. And if you have a Bible, you can turn to chapter 3. But I'm going to bounce around a little bit because it would take me like 15 minutes to read through. This is a very long chapter. But I'm going to tell you what verse I'm going to read each time. So we're going to start in verse 1. And if you're unfamiliar with the book of Nehemiah, it is a story about the Israelites after they were exiled to Babylon, kind of coming back to Jerusalem and trying to rebuild their city walls. And so this is starting in verse 1. It says, Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. And then verse 3, the fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hassanah. Verse 6, the Jeshana gate was repaired by Joiada, son of Paseada, and Meshulam, son of Besodia. Verse 13, the valley gate was repaired by Hanun and the residents of Zenoa. Verse 17, next to him, the repairs were made by the Levites under Rehum, son of Bani. Okay, so if you read through chapter 3, it's just this for like a lot of verses where it's saying this specific person or this family repaired this part of the gate. And each family was assigned sort of their portion of the wall. But in their collective obedience, they were able to restore this city wall. And this really, like, came to my mind because I thought about how we all have different roles to play. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about there being one body but many parts. And not one part is, you know, more important than the other, but that we all have these different roles to play. What's important is that we're all doing our part. And I was so greatly encouraged by you, church, when I saw you all essentially working on your section of the wall. It has felt like to me, like everybody's just been trying to do what they can. And so whether that's, you know, I've had youth events before where I've asked the men's prayer group to help me with a meal, and they've joyfully served in that way. And we have people trying to help with our mortgage initiative to pay that down and to get that paid off. And I see the Care and Share ladies group just about every week doing something to serve. And it just blesses my heart so greatly. Or just seems like everybody is helping with Midtown Sports in some way. And so this is really just me being overwhelmed and saying thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It felt like in Scripture where Jesus talks about the widow giving the one coin and the rich man giving more. And it's just like it felt like everybody gave what they could. And because of that, our students were able to experience something transformational. And so, you know, I guess like I want to challenge you in a way. But from my point of view, I think you guys are looking amazing. But I guess like my challenge is, what is your part of the wall? Where's the Lord calling you to right now, to just put your focus towards? Is there a part that maybe needs your attention, or a part that is your next portion of the wall to work on, if that makes sense? So that's sort of the first portion of this. But then the last part is I just wanted to say that this next generation, they need to see that they belong to a church family. And one way we can keep working on our portion of the wall is by investing in the next generation. There's a book that is highly regarded in the youth ministry world, where they did a big study over what are the factors that keep students in the faith and in church after they graduate. And they were able to sort of figure out that one of the really important factors is that just that they're connected. And they said if a student has five adults in their lives from the church, that the likelihood that they remain is much higher. And so this next generation needs people who are willing to walk with them. This summer at church camp, our speaker did a message about he instructed the teens that they needed to both have a Paul and a Timothy in their life. And I thought that was really a great message, especially for them. They're young and they need some guidance. They need someone investing into them. And so this could be for you, a son-in-law. It could be a teen you've not met before now. It could be a newcomer at church. It could be simply a woman you know doesn't have a relationship with her mother. I don't know, but God can put that person in your life, both who you could mentor and who could mentor you. When Paul talks about Timothy, he says, "To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." This is what their relationship looked like. It looked like father and son. From what I found, is that Timothy's biological father was Greek and he did not share his faith. So if you ask yourself that question of who am I pouring into? They said this on the video, But it's a good reminder to us that the youth are not the future of the church, that they are part of the church right now. And sometimes we talk about the youth and maybe we think about them in terms of their potential. But they can be used by the Lord right now. In my life, I feel like I have kind of my regular sphere of influence, of course, exhausted my ways of inviting people to church. I try to go out of my way to meet new people and things, but many of these teens, they've got a big pull where they are right now with students who have little to no preconceived notions, and they're willing to just come and hear about Jesus. And so it is important that we invest in them. And I don't want to measure our success, you know, by how many people we have or whatever like that, but how faithful we are as a people. So this morning, my challenge for you all isn't just for the students. It's for the whole church, for all of us. Who is someone that in the next generation that God is asking you to encourage, to pray for, to invest in? Maybe it's a grandchild. Maybe it's a neighborhood kid. But whatever your section of the wall is, let us build it faithfully. A great work can be done when we work together. So with that, I'm going to pray, and the worship team could come on up. So if you'll bow your heads with me. Father God, thank you so much for a group of students who were willing to have faith and sign on when they weren't totally sure if they were going to be able to go. But Lord, you made a way. And God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people faithfully serving and faithfully rebuilding, like building their section of the wall. And Lord, I just pray that you would help everyone here to find someone to mentor and to pour into them as well. And Father, I just thank you. Thank you for our church. Thank you for this beautiful body of Christ. We just thank you for everything you're doing in and through us. And Lord, I just pray also for these teens as they come home from this trip that their relationship with you would just continue to grow and grow and grow. And Lord, we just, we love you so much. And we thank you for everything you've done for us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.